The man who needs no introduction. Here we are. It's wonderful to speak to you again. Let me get rid of these wires. And I read the blurbs that Bill put in the insert this morning, and I realized that I've kind of confused everybody by my title, Winter Wisdom. It's not really about winter, and my talk is really not about wisdom, per se.
I couldn't find a song about
it.
But I can find lots on winter wisdom.
So. Yeah, if you could just ask me, do you mention God? I said, well, no, not really. But there is a mention of losing love, so yes. I do mention God. But it's about an insight that came to me in winter, which is why I called it Winter Wisdom.
Ah,
it's really about changing behavior. Does anybody want to change their behavior? Anybody have a behavior they want to change?
Yes.
Yeah. And that really fits with winter, because we make New Year's resolutions because we want to change something in winter. And it is the time for introspection, so it is the time for going within and getting in touch with what you want to change about yourself. I was actually inspired by the piece that Bill wrote in our January newsletter. Yes, about becoming our observer. He spoke of dealing with addiction to behaviors. And I love that because, you know, that's a phrase that I've used, and I haven't heard too many people talk about being addicted to behaviors. But, you know, I think pretty much everything is addiction. Any imbalance is addiction. And he spoke about becoming aware of the triggers and the thought patterns related to those behaviors. His writing reminded me of what might be called a moment of awareness when I got to observe my behavior and the thought patterns related to it. When I lived in St. Louis about 40 years ago, we had a lot of snow in the winter. A lot more than we do here in the mountains, which is why I'm here in the mountains and no longer in St. Louis. We also had miserable summers. Consequently, it was necessary at times, many times actually, to clear that snow out of our driveway so that I could get our automobile on the road. I've been shoveling snow for many years before I had my aha experience with it. In fact, I grew up in a suburb of Boston, so I kind of grew up shoveling snow in the winter. My modus operandi had always been to look ahead. She's not here today, is she? A modus operandi woman. But my modus operandi had always been to look ahead and stay focused on the task ahead, what needed to be done next. Never looking back at what I had done. And with that, was a not-so-gentle berating of myself for not doing what needed to be done faster. Does this pattern sound familiar to anybody? Anybody? Raise your hands.
Oh, yeah.
No way. Yeah. I got you, Jadwiga. Well, after many years of addiction to this pattern, Bill, I was plowing ahead in my usual way when I paused and happened to look behind me. I was astounded. I thought, oh my God, I've cleared that much driveway, and all I'm aware of is how much more there is to get to the street. And in that moment of epiphany, I realized that up until then, I never looked back at what I'd already accomplished, only ahead to what I still had to do. I also realized that I did not acknowledge or credit myself for what I had accomplished. I only beat myself up over what I hadn't done yet. And I saw the same pattern playing out in many areas of my life, academics, work, and others. I had no trouble acknowledging the work of other people and praising them for their accomplishments. I just never thought of applying it to myself. Now that I observed the pattern, it was time to change it. Now, my model of change is meditation. That might sound a little weird to you, but I think of the idea of change as a mantra. So if I want to change something, I stay focused on that idea of what I want to change. And when I deviate from that and actually do my old behavior, then I bring myself back to the mantra of what I want to change it to. Does that make sense? Now, when we focus on a mantra, when we meditate, inevitably thoughts show up. But we don't beat ourselves up about, you know, I'm thinking instead of doing my mantra. If you had a good meditation teacher, they told you to just gently bring yourself back to the mantra, whether it's, you know, following your breath or a word or a sound or a feeling, whatever it is that you're using as your mantra. It helps to take a deep breath first before taking any new route, so to speak. Now, the Japanese Zen masters teach us that when thoughts intrude in our meditation, we should serve tea to them. Now, what they mean by that is think of the thoughts as welcome guests. You know, they're going to come anyway. So rather than be angry with them or, you know, shoo them away, just welcome them, honor them, serve tea to them. But, you know, when you have welcome guests, after a while, they outwear their welcome. So when the tea is done, they should politely leave. And then your focus goes back to the mantra. But without rancor, without criticism, without concern. To paraphrase a common phrase, in life, thoughts happen. Changing a behavior pattern is a matter of consciously choosing a different path. Now, one of my most valuable and valued lessons from A Course in Miracles is I can choose peace instead of this. What I got from that is that every moment of every day, I have the choice whether to think a certain thing, act a certain way, do a certain behavior pattern, or pause and choose to do something else. Now, changing a behavior pattern takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. You don't just choose, okay, I'm going to do this something. You know, how many times have you decided I'm going to quit smoking and, you know, like, tomorrow you never smoke again, right? No. Doesn't happen that way. I know, I quit smoking twice. So what happens is you decide that you're going to change the behavior pattern. Then you become an observer. This is where I go back to Bill's becoming an observer of yourself. Because you observe what you're doing. And when you see yourself doing that behavior pattern that you want to change, like for me, it's only looking ahead and never looking back, I would remind myself, hey, wait a minute, I've got a choice. I can look back at my accomplishments. And what you're doing in that process of reminding yourself, I've got a choice, you're telling your unconscious mind, you have a choice. Because it's your unconscious that runs everything. You know, behavior patterns are not conscious. They're run unconsciously. So your task is to retrain your unconscious mind. And the way you do that is by gently, you know, serving tea to it, every time you become aware of doing that behavior. And most of the time, it's going to be after the fact. You're going to catch yourself in the act of not looking back. And you say, oh, I can do that. But each time you do it, you'll find yourself catching yourself earlier and earlier in that process. until finally one day you have a real breakthrough and you catch yourself in that moment of choice where you could either plow ahead or look back, and you say, hey, I'm going to do it different this time. I'm going to look back first. Or I'm going to, you know, not have the cigarette and not just put it out once I realize I'm doing it. In that moment, you've actually made the behavioral shift. And as you keep doing that, as you keep reminding your unconscious mind, you know, no, there's another thing that I want to do. You know, I don't want that cigarette. I want to have a glass of water instead, or want to quickly meditate instead. Then your unconscious mind gets reprogrammed. And that's the goal, to establish a new experience. Now, A Course in Miracles defines a miracle as a shift in perception that removes the blocks to loving yourself, others, or the world. So this is truly a miracle when you change a behavior and, in effect, redefine yourself, redefine your perception of yourself. That is a miracle. So let's summarize. The first step in changing behavior is to become aware of it. Behavior patterns are run unconsciously. It may take quite a long time for you to become aware of a particular behavior. Even when people tell you what you're doing, most likely you'll be in denial or not believe what you're hearing until that day when you see it for yourself. Remember that old saying, I'll believe it when I see it? Once you are aware, you will then observe yourself and catch yourself running the pattern of behavior that you want to change. At that point, you can choose to do something else, behave in a different way, establish a new pattern. As you continue being observant and watchful, you will catch yourself running the behavior pattern that you want to change earlier and earlier. One day, you will catch yourself in the moment when you initiate that behavior pattern. Now, remember the idea of the tea ceremony? There's another reason for serving tea to those intrusive thoughts or unwanted behavior patterns. All behavior is purposeful. It's not random. If you trace a particular behavior back to its origin, you would inevitably find that the motivation behind that behavior had something to do with your survival, based on your perception of what you needed for survival at that time. So it's important to honor and respect those behaviors that we chose to adopt to ensure our survival, and to honor the little guy or girl who made the choice. I think I'm leading into something you're going to be talking about next week, Pamela. Yeah. I see you nodding a lot as I'm talking today. Serving tea to them is a way of honoring them and thanking them for keeping you alive. Because that's the purpose of life, is to stay alive. We could do a whole talk on that one. Now the circumstances are different. Different behaviors are required or possible. Serving tea is a way to say farewell to those old behaviors, thoughts, and actors, and choosers. So remember, observe, become aware, observe, choose, and honor. Those are the key words to remember. Thank you.